1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We are into part two of our weekly feature, Guns and the Home. And you know there have been safety checks, safety devices that have put on the Smith & Wesson guns, or at least been promised by the company since settlement of a lawsuit. We'll talk about them in just a minute. I just wanted to look through Entertainment Weekly to see what grades they're giving the films this week. For some reason, I have a very twisted and sick affinity for all the Fs. There's not an F score here. This is not this week's. This was February 4th. I guess it doesn't matter. They gave a B to Any Given Sunday. Boy, did that thing go. It just came and went. Any Given Sunday. Liked it. Didn't love it. They gave an A-. The Girl Interrupted. My wife was dry heaving out of that thing. She read the book and couldn't stand it. But then that's the same wife who didn't like Message in a Bottle. Real weird woman. Hurricane, B+. Magnolia, B+. My Dog, Skip, B-. Next Friday, C+. Play It to the Bone, C+. Stuart Little, a B. You liked that movie, didn't you, Mike? Talented Mr. Ripley, A-. Titus, C+. Oh, that's the Anthony Hopkins, like a Roman thing, set in the modern day. Topsy Turvy and A, Toy Story 2 and A. So they don't really get into, there's no real serious maligning this week, which is fine with me. But when you get back to the, sometimes they just have some very cool F grades that they give certain movies. I remember they ripped, I don't know which one, but they just ripped a couple of movies that I actually wanted to go see. One of them was Drop Dead Gorgeous, which looked kind of funny. I forget who was in it, but it looked like it was going to be kind of funny. It's a beauty pageant in Minnesota. And they gave it to Kirstie Alley and, wasn't Kristen Dunst in it or something, and Denise Richards? So I don't know. I thought it was going to be funny, and I look at Entertainment Weekly. F. F. Sucks. Like, no value, no redeeming social value, no humor, no dramatic import, nothing. So we went and saw it anyway, and they were right. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, part two of Guns in the Home. Now, if you saw the newspaper today, you probably know that Smith & Wesson settled its lawsuit with safety changes. The nation's biggest maker of handguns, Smith & Wesson, agreed Friday to dozens of once unthinkable safety and marketing restrictions aimed at keeping firearms out of the hands of children. The settlement will involve trigger locks on handguns, grips too big and triggers too powerful for young kids to fire, a hidden second serial number to deter thefts, smart technology to allow only authorized users to fire a gun, safety warnings on packaging, no gun show sales without background checks on buyers. All right, so there it is, and we do open the phones up to your comments as we have for the last couple of days. What do you think about all of this? How will it affect you as a gun owner or a potential gun owner? All right, here is Alhambra on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes. How do you feel about this, sir?
Yes. I'm a gun owner. I own a Glock 357, and I also have a 45 caliber, the Glock 29 series. And I read in the paper today where Glock is considering these safety checks and these safety procedures.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the manufacturer is Glock?
Yes.
Now, they're not part of this lawsuit, are they?
No, sir. No, they are not. And I have been on it. I have been a fairly loyal owner of Glock weapons for a few years. They have a light cast polymer, double action, and they're very easy weapons to handle. But I think that these safety recommendations are really the wrong thing to do, because I think they're going to compromise the integrity of the weapon. And they don't keep in mind, Mr. Hendry, that they do not take into consideration older people such as myself. I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, and many of these safety features will impede my ability to use a weapon.
And how so, sir?
Because of the
larger grip and...
The larger grip and also the difficulty in squeezing the trigger. And I ask myself, and I ask you, and I'm a United States Navy veteran, and I fought in the Korean War for this country, sir.
Yes, I'm right here.
Why do I get penalized because some idiot doesn't know how to take care of his weapon? If you make these guns idiot-proof, only idiots will own them. All right? You see?
If you make the guns idiot-proof, only idiots will own them. That sounds very good, but let me ask you something. How do you keep these weapons away from kids? How do you...
You know, this is an area that I've been hearing this for a long time. I have a 5-year-old grandson, and I think there are a lot of gun owners who are going to tell you the same thing, that if you are smart with a weapon, if you have a child in the house... And I'm going to tell you something that maybe a lot of people won't admit. All right?
Yes, sir.
When a child is in the house and there is a loaded weapon somewhere in the home, there is a little bit of an adrenaline rush, and it keeps you on your toes. And it allows you to focus. And
all right, wait a second. Do you have a grandson?
I have a 5-year-old grandson.
And he comes over to visit?
He comes over to visit, and...
Do you lock the weapons?
No, sir, I do not lock the weapons up. I have a loaded Glock 9mm that I keep in a holster under my desk. I have a loaded Glock 45 caliber that I keep loaded in one of the hall closets. And
you don't lock these weapons up or otherwise secure them when your 5-year-old grandson is there, but...
Hold on. I don't do it because... There is an adrenaline factor.
What is the adrenaline factor?
Please let me finish.
Well, I want to know. You say there's an adrenaline rush, knowing that there's a kid in the house, and...
Please let me finish, sir.
Go ahead.
Any gun owner will tell you there's something about having a small child in the house and having a loaded weapon in the house that is a little bit of an adrenaline rush. And
you know where your gun is, though, right?
You do, but sometimes you don't. You might move it, sometimes I'll move it. And the reason why I do this is...
Yeah, tell me why it is that you have a loaded gun with your 5-year-old son in the house, and you're not sure where it is?
Sometimes you do. The adrenaline rush keeps you sharp, keeps your senses focused... And I have to tell you, you can get addicted to this. Now, there's a downside and an upside. And
are you addicted to the adrenaline rush that you get from...
You have to understand. Are you a gun owner, Mr. Henry?
No, sir, I'm not.
Then you need to do a little less talking, a little more listening.
Yes, sir.
I feel that I can take better care of him because I'm on my toes. I don't know. Where's the gun? I don't know. I have a 5-year-old in the house. I have a loaded gun someplace. I can feel the adrenaline rushing through me, all right? And I'll tell you something right now. My grandson, I love very, very dearly. And I would never want anything to happen.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
So
I'm not saying that you would.
So I'm telling you, for me, one of the few thrills that I have left in life is to have him come visit. And yes, a little bit of an adrenaline rush, have him in the home, and I know I have loaded guns. It's like one of those, if you've seen the new video games, that the kids play.
But it sounds unsafe.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a blast, a good, you know, you feel good.
You feel good knowing that you have a loaded weapon somewhere in the house, and a little boy is wandering through that house.
No, I don't feel... The boy is not going to get hurt. It's just a nice, juicy rush that cops get when they're on their way to rolling to a crime scene.
I have never had a gun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't understand it.
Is that why so many loaded guns are kept around with kids around?
I don't know. I know I do it because it makes me focus. I can smell it. I can smell there's fear all over me because I don't want them to find the gun. And yet I do know where it is.
Well, if you know where it is, then why can't you just go into the closet and get it?
It's not just that. It's sometimes I'll take a trip to the store, and I'll leave him there.
You purposely leave the child in the house with a loaded gun?
Just, you know...
To keep the senses focused.
Yes, sir. But that is something that only a gun owner would understand. My memory isn't the best anymore, and this helps it stay sharp. So I will think, where did I leave the loaded 45? Where? I said a prayer the other day. Dear God, help me remember where the 45 is. I know there's a 5-year-old child wandering through this house, and I will remember. And there's one other way that you could keep kids...
All right, hold on for a minute, okay?
I'm sorry?
Hold on for just a minute. I have to take a break. That guy's a Glock owner. This is part two of our Guns in the Home series. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You own a gun, Craig? I don't have one. Now, this guy claims that it keeps his mind sharp and his adrenaline up if he leaves a loaded weapon somewhere in the house with his 5-year-old grandson walking through the house, because he says it's like a cop rolling to a crime scene. It keeps his juice going. I don't know anything about it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is Guns in the Home Part 2. And then he leaves the house. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, and your name is Lloyd, right, Lloyd?
Yes, sir. I'm Lloyd Bonafide, Phil. I live in Alhambra, California, and I have a heating and plumbing business that I retired from, but I have one son and a grandson.
And well, when your son was growing up, is this how you basically treated the weapons in your house?
Well, you need to understand that as a gun owner and as a father... It is far better for me to keep... See, I'm a Navy veteran.
Yes, sir.
And so as a veteran, I have a certain... I live my life as if something bad is always going to happen. Let me put it that way.
Boy, that sounds like a... It doesn't sound like a good way to live. It sounds like it's a tough, tense way to live.
It's the only way to live, my brother. It's the only way to live if you want to get out of this thing with half of your rear end intact. And that's the God's truth. And the only way to keep your adrenaline up is to do what I call adrenaline testing, or to do these little things. I have my 5-year-old grandson. I love him very much. Yes, I have a loaded Glock 45. Somewhere in the house, I'm not sure.
And he's walking through that house.
Yes, he is. And it scares the living hell out of me, but it helps me keep shut.
Well, sir, you sound like you're crying.
Because I love my grandson.
Then why don't you look? All right, I don't...
You don't understand.
All right, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, okay? I'm just... Some of the things you're saying don't make sense. I'm going to check in with other parents, if you don't mind, okay?
Well, yes, sir. I'm a Navy veteran.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to check in with some other people. Oceanside, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. What is your name?
My name is Christina.
Christina, this is Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Lloyd.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Hello.
Hi. I'm a 37-year-old mother of a 14-month-old little boy.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've never been compelled to call into a talk radio show in my life. But I feel so compassionate that what you're doing is completely wrong. That little boy gets a hold of that gun if you're there or if you're not there, and he blows. I don't even want to say it.
I mean,
he does something with it.
I'll say it for you, ma'am. Don't you understand, Mr. Bonafide, that if this child,
ma'am, I would rather chew my own leg off than have anything happen to that child. I love that boy very much.
Lloyd, all due respect, maybe you should chew your leg off for your adrenaline rush. Walk through the ghetto for your adrenaline rush. Do not put that boy's life on the line.
No, because I'm a 68-year-old Navy veteran of the Korean War. Veterans live their life a certain way.
Find your kicks with another person with your own life.
Let me tell you, you're a young mother, right? You're a young mother?
Yes.
Let me tell you how you want to keep your children away from guns. And there's only one sure way of doing it. You get yourself a Glock 357. You take the magazine out of it. You make sure there is no cartridge or shell in the loading chamber. You put that barrel up to that child's head.
Oh, my God.
You listen to me. I'm a father and a grandfather. Now listen to me. You put the barrel of that unloaded gun to that child's head, and you pull the trigger so he hears the distinct clicking sound, And
so you're scaring the hell out of the kid.
You are making me sick.
You had better believe you're scared. And when you do that, that child will never. And he'll lose his water, and he'll soil himself.
Oh. You are psychologically screwing that kid up by doing that.
How do you know that? I'm a father and a grandfather.
I don't care. You're whacked, mister. You are.
Lady,
I'm sorry.
Lady, you.
I have never.
How many children have you got?
I have one little boy
and
that
you're
I would
kind of
never.
An expert. You're an expert, huh?
You're not putting a loaded gun to the kid's head.
No, sir. Let me tell you, so my boy turned out fine.
You have a son, and this is your grandson.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'll have to take your word on your boy turning out fine.
Well, I'll tell you what. You put the barrel of a weapon to a child's head, and I took my grandson, and I squeezed his head up against the barrel of my .357, and I said to him, you listen to this sound. And he heard the distinct metallic click, and he knew that Grandpa wasn't screwing around. What do you think of them apples? What do you think of that?
What do I think of that?
Yeah.
Glad to hell that you're not my father. That's for damn sure.
And so you're going to go and soil yourself worrying about guns. Is that it?
No. Well, I'm going to do what I can to keep him away from my son. I'm not going to stick one up to his head.
And what are you going to do when he finds one at a neighbor's house or otherwise comes across a weapon that has not been secured by an adult? This is the last sound you hear before your head splats all over the pavement, is what I said to him. And then he heard the distinct metallic clang of the hammer.
Jeez, you know something, pal? It sounds to me like you're really in love with guns.
I think guns... Well, guess what, Mr. Henry? We fought a world war with them, and we kept the Nazis from taking over the world. So you better start loving guns, too.
I understand the necessity for guns and self-defense, but to leave one around the house, loaded...
For a five-year-old
to...
I didn't say to find, did I?
But you're getting adrenaline kick. Isn't that right? You're getting an...
I'm getting a nice... It keeps me on edge. I live my life as if all hell is going to break loose at any moment. That's
Don't
the only
swim
way.
In a shark tank, Lloyd. Get
lady,
your adrenaline rush another
lady,
way.
Lady, welcome to the world, lady.
Well...
It keeps you young.
I think we're in two different worlds, Lloyd.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Albany on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment. Hello to both of you.
Yes, sir.
I'm a father of three kids, and I also have weapons in the house. And to me, what this gentleman is saying, I'm all for the right to keep and bear arms.
Amen.
But what this gentleman is saying, in my opinion, is exactly why people need gun locks on things.
You put a gun lock on something and you want to fumble around with that with some turkey coming through the window of your house? Not me, my man.
I'd rather have that turkey blow me away than have my kid blow himself away.
And would you rather have the turkey blow you away and then your kid away? Yeah,
well,
you don't have an answer for that one.
Sure, I do. But I'm willing to roll the dice that bets on my dog and my alarm system and things. Help me do that.
You sound like a mild-mannered guy. Do you remember the movie Superman, what they said about Clark? What the hell was his name?
Hey, Lloyd.
Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Hey, Lloyd, can I
Clark
just
Kent.
Finish, though? Can
no,
I just finish, though?
You sound like the mild-mannered Clark Kent.
Okay, let me just
All right,
finish,
he may
though.
Be mild-mannered, but he's making a point about his home and his guns and everything.
I just want to finish,
All right, okay. Boy. We got to get going, sir. Thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686, Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Los Angeles, yes.
Yes, my name is Larry Mancias from L.A., and I was calling because...
Who's that? What is that?
I was calling because what I think...
Who's that?
This is one of our callers.
Yeah.
Well,
uh-huh.
Yeah, what I think that this man is doing is basically leaving that gun out for the child to get a hold of, and I think that's very wrong.
Okay, Letty, would you hold the line because we got to go to a commercial break, all right?
Yes.
And your name's Letty?
Yes.
And your name is what, Lloyd?
My name is Lloyd Bonafide, Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on, please. Both of you. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Part two of Guns at Home. Couple of callers on the phone. Lloyd is in Alhambra and Letty in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Letty.
I was saying that, you know, I'm a single mother of five children, okay?
Am I on the air too, Mr. Hendry?
Okay, can you hear what I have to say?
Yeah, I want the gentleman to be quiet. We can hear you, sir, okay?
No, I just wanted to know if I was on the air too.
What you're doing is wrong,
right?
Because you're making the children think that it's okay to use guns in the home. And really, this caller that was once on the phone before, this female caller,
yes,
I
ma'am.
Agree with her totally because it's really wrong. I mean,
well, let me recap for you, for the listeners. Gentlemen, Lloyd, you keep a loaded gun in the house, even though you have your 5-year-old grandson around, because it keeps the adrenaline up.
It keeps me focused. And I'll give you look, I went to the store. And
you said you leave the boy there with a loaded gun.
No, sir. I drive around the block as exercise. And I'll tell you something. I pray to Jesus that I don't get home and find a dead 5-year-old.
Well, you know what?
Then
maybe
why
you should pray to Jesus that he can give you the faith that nothing will happen to you. You don't have to keep a loaded gun at home.
Well, ma'am, I don't have to keep a loaded gun. I live every day as if all hell is going to break loose.
Well, you know what? That's you and everybody else, because I have a lot of tension and I have a lot of stress in my life, too. And I don't carry a loaded gun with me or leave it at home with any of my children.
How many guns are you?
Either one of them can get a hold of it.
Well, you're a Latin, correct?
Excuse me?
Are you a Latina?
It doesn't matter what I am.
Well, the reason why I ask, ma'am, is I would imagine that you have many weapons.
No, I'm sorry,
and
but I
hold
don't.
On.
You know what
we're
my
not
weapon
gonna
is? My weapon is God.
We're not making that generalization, okay?
I get it. This is politically correct. The talk television,
but
huh?
But see, it doesn't matter what
we're
I
not
am.
On television.
We're not talking
we're on
about
radio.
Racism here or,
no,
or
ma'am.
Anything
no,
like that.
No, ma'am. You're absolutely correct. But
okay.
I'm simply saying that, you know something? The other day, I went out. And I couldn't find my house because I'm 68 and I do forget things. And I couldn't find my goddamn house.
And that's why you carry a loaded gun. It's wrong. It's wrong that you're teaching these children the same thing.
Are you all right, Lloyd?
You know?
I keep a loaded weapon in the closet hoping the child won't find it.
Hoping the child won't find it. Then why
and you couldn't
you
find your house
out?
With the child at home?
I was driving around. I knew there was a gun in the house, but I didn't know which one.
Which house?
Yes. That's part of the hell of being a Korean War veteran, and that's part of the hell of living every day as if hell, all hell, like, oh, man, Pork Chop Hill.
But you know what the thing is that, you know, I...
What's your name, dear?
My name is Letty.
You sound like a very nice lady.
Thank you very much, and I think that I am. Because,
I don't want anything to happen to my grandson.
Sir, nothing will happen to your grandson if you take the loaded gun out of the closet.
Exactly, because, you know...
So now all of a sudden you want to laugh at me.
Sir!
You know what? Because it's the truth what he's saying. I agree
yes,
with him totally.
Exactly.
Because every day in the news we hear about kids getting a hold of the guns. And where did they get them from? They get them from home.
I just don't
they
want...
They get them from their parents. They get them from
I don't want
they think
the son of a bitch who's operating the show to laugh at me.
Well, sir, I don't like being called a son of a bitch, if you don't mind. And I'm not laughing at you.
I distinctly heard it, sir.
You know what? Children
Why?
Are very smart. Sometimes they're even smarter than we are. Even though we think that they don't know things,
you put
they know
the barrel,
more.
You put the barrel of a Ruger up to a kid's head.
But see, why
and
would you do a thing like that?
A lot of times we'll clean the gun with a bullet in the chamber.
Why
because,
would you do a thing like that?
Because they tell you to clean a gun as if it's loaded. So I make sure it is loaded.
So you do that to the child?
No kid's smarter than me. No kid is smarter
yes,
than me.
Yes, there's kids that are smarter than
smarter
we are.
Than
nowadays,
me?
Yes, there
You're
is.
Telling me a 5-year-old smarter than me. Boy, if you weren't a woman.
No.
What I wouldn't give.
You know
okay,
what?
Look, I got to take a break. Thank you, ma'am, for your call.
You're welcome.
You know something? It sounds to me like you are wound a little tight.
Of course I'm wound tight. Look at the world today. A cesspool of crime and violence. I keep my gun. I tell you what, I keep my wife close, but I keep my gun closer. Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. Wes Covina on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, this is Richard from West Covina.
Yes, Richard, how are you? Good evening. Welcome to our show.
Good. Listen,
yes.
I'm 69 years old.
How are you doing, brother? I'm 68.
Why don't you shut up and listen, mister? I'm a Korean veteran, 16 years in the Marine Corps.
Sir, I spent...
Why
Korean...
don't you just listen? I didn't
you know,
call...
Because
I didn't
you're
call,
a fellow
I just...
serviceman, I'll listen to you, but I don't like
Why
being
Why don't you just
to...
listen?
Just listen to the man, listen. Okay? This, I guess you wanted to say, Lloyd, you're a veteran, too.
Yes, I am.
We know that.
Korean War.
Okay, listen, we got it.
Why don't you listen? I'm a 16-year veteran of the Korean War and the Marine Corps. I have two Purple Hearts and a Silver Star.
The Korean War only lasted 3 years, my friend.
You didn't listen. I said a 16-year veteran of the Marine Corps.
You said of the Korean War.
He said the Marine Corps.
I don't know what this fellow's name is.
My name is Lloyd Bonafide.
Okay, then why don't you just listen, Lloyd?
I'm listening, but I used...
Quit interrupting.
Never mind. Just let the man finish.
Everything you said about the guns, I have guns. I'm an avid gun man. I'm a shooter. I have three grown children.
What
four
rank
grandchildren.
Were, what rank were you in the
what difference does it make? What difference does it make? A Marine is a Marine.
I was a chief petty officer.
I don't care if you were a chief swabby. Why don't you just
see,
listen?
The Corps, Mr. Henry, they got a hard-on for the Navy.
I understand about it. Let
Lloyd,
the man talk. Just let the man...
This man needs... Why don't you go to the Veterans Hospital? You need help, pal.
Oh, I got to go to the Veterans Hospital because I believe in the Constitution of keeping a gun around?
Well, then why don't you believe,
let this man...
Why don't you believe in a little courtesy and
yeah,
give me an opportunity to talk?
Very good point.
Okay? Why don't you extend a little courtesy?
I just feel I only have to listen if you outrank me.
Oh, come on, will you? Go ahead. I'm going to put him on hold. He's on hold. Go ahead, sir. He's on hold.
Everything this man has said,
yeah,
up until the point of owning guns, which is nice, it's a constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that right.
Of course.
We all went to war. We used weapons for war, for protection of our country, of
yes,
other people's country, of other people's rights.
Very true.
When we come home and I got out, I became a very good and strong owner of guns.
Mm-hmm.
I have three children, grown, mm-hmm, four grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of my children were taught how to handle
all
a
right,
gun.
Now I want to jump
every
in.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second, hold on.
I want to jump in and say something right now.
Wait a minute, I thought you were on hold.
I fought my way out of hold. See, that's the kind of soldier. I could fight my way off of a hold button.
Now you're a soldier. You went from a sailor to a soldier.
Let me tell you something, right?
What do you mean you fought your way out of hold? I had you on hold.
And I fought my way out.
Well.
Hey, Mike, are you screwing around with me? Put the guy on hold, will you please?
Okay. Now,
go ahead.
Let me continue.
I fought my way out of hold.
Let me continue, please.
Yes.
All of my children were taught gun safety. They were taught, and I have had loaded guns in my house. I know where everyone's at.
Right.
They are under my attention, my wife's attention, and my grown children's attention.
Right.
My grandchildren were taken out to
the
range.
There, I got out of hold again.
They were taught gun safety. They were taught intelligently. This
I think,
man, when
yeah,
he says that he put a unloaded gun up to his child's head, five
right,
years old.
Right.
And pull the trigger, he lost me, the man is sick.
That's insanity, and that's the
exactly
you're
right,
calling me insane?
So
I just fought my way out of hold again.
Why don't he tell how he taught his child gun safety instead of gun fear?
Gun
okay?
safety?
Yeah, gun safety,
okay,
mister,
we
is
clean,
gun handling.
We clean the weapon with a bullet in the chamber.
Well,
you call
you
that gun safety?
Mister,
because
you know
you're supposed
mister,
to.
Number one, I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe you were
Christ
in this. I don't believe you were in any military service.
How dare
I don't
you
believe that you were in any military service. I don't believe that you were in Korea, and I don't believe that you are a sane.
I was honorably
person
discharged at San
I think
Diego,
that you
California.
Need help.
I was
you
honorably
need
discharged.
Help.
Mister, I was honorably discharged
Mister,
at San Diego.
You need help.
In Seattle,
I don't care
Washington
if you got the Congressional Medal of Honor. You need help.
I think putting a loaded...
I don't put a loaded gun.
Well, I'll tell you.
My daddy put a gun to my head. I did it to my son, and he does it to his.
Well, then your whole family is bonkers.
Is nuts, okay?
You got that right.
And what do you think about me fighting my way out of the hold button?
Well, I don't think much of you fighting anything.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much. You made a very good point, sir.
Yeah, I fought my way off.
I want to talk to the talk show.
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
I fought my way off the hold button.
I appreciate the fact that you've taken my call.
I appreciate your comments.
And I guarantee you that all gun
yes,
owners
sir
in this country do not feel like this man does. All
right
gun owners in this country do not teach their children gun safety.
Put me
as
on
this
hold
man
one
did
more time and see me
all
fight my way off
the hold button.
All
people in this country don't put fear into their grandchildren.
I'm putting them on hold right now. Go ahead,
all gun owners in this country are sane people. the people that get a hold of guns is because they have
a accessibility
to them because of people like this guy.
You're absolutely right. I agree.
And I thank you for the
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. What is with this guy fighting his way off a hold?
There, I did it again.
Hang up on the guy then. Fighting his way off a hold. When you take an empty gun and you put it to a kid's head and you click the hammer to
scare the crap out of him.
To scare the crap. To scare the crap out of him.
I'm getting faster fighting my way off a hold, aren't I?
To scare the crap out of him, you do need a doctor. That's one man's opinion. I'm Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. So I was just telling my lads here about the short story Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka, just to show you just how heady and heavy and heavyweight we can get. Not that we read it, but I heard about it. I heard about it from somebody. I don't say it was a dirty story somebody told me in an alley somewhere over my first cigarette. And anyway, this guy wakes up one morning, and he's a bug. He's an insect. He's metamorphosized, hence the title of the story, into an insect. He's laying in his bed. He's got 16 legs. He's looking up. He can't roll over onto his stomach. He's a completely different physiologic form. And his mother comes to the door of his bedroom and says, "What the hell is keeping you?" She doesn't understand he's turned into a bug. She can't see it. He goes to work. He can't get the typewriter to work properly. He can't get on a streetcar. And only the only complaints that he hears from people are, "Well, you're not getting your work done. Come on, buddy, get onto the streetcar, or how come you haven't come downstairs for breakfast on time?" They notice that he's late, but they don't see that he's turned into a bug. And the whole point being, people are only involved in their own worlds, and they only notice you insofar as you impact that world. That's the truth. That's the existential reality that Franz freaking Kafka was trying to teach every last one of us. And what has this got to do with our show? Everything! Because if you're just joining the Phil Hendry Show and you're wondering, what the hell did I just hear? That's what you're hearing. You're hearing people wrapped up in their own worlds, not seeing the big picture. Ain't that heavy? And it's even heavier that we even know what it is that we do here. You know, like I could put it into those terms. I'm very impressed with myself, but screw it. I mean, it's not gonna win me any Billboard Personality of the Year awards. Which, by the way, how come we haven't won that one yet? You know, Billboard has that Radio Personality of the Year award. Do you have to have Bafo ratings? I don't think so. I see some guys pulling down that award every year, and they're not necessarily highly rated personalities. Well, maybe they are. Okay. I give up. I'll back off of that one. Well, I mean, we got good numbers, but I guess we haven't got the big double-digit shares yet. But then again, who does, huh? Especially in L.A. Especially in L.A. What passes for ratings monsters in this town, I think I ought to win the Billboard Multi-Personality of the Year award. How about that? A whole new award for me. They got the Personality of the Year award? I get the Billboard Multi-Personality of the Year award. How about the Sick Bastard Personality of the Year award? That one sounds good. So that's what we do here, and, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Now, moving on to some other items, I mentioned at the outset of yesterday's show, in fact, I've been talking about this for 3 solid weeks, ever since we moved into our new house, the ongoing problems with Sears, and it's I'm not mad anymore. I'm not angry anymore. I'm not going to rant and rave. It's fine. Everything's fine. Sears is a company that hates me. They hate my living, breathing, churning, red, pulsating, pink, throbbing guts. They hate me. They don't want me to be happy, and they don't want my product to work properly. Now, when I last left you, they had given me a new washer, and I was on my second dryer. The second dryer, it doesn't work. They promised me a new one on Sunday. It didn't come. I called up the repair line. I said, "Well, maybe you guys would like to come out and fix the dryer that I have." Now, you say, "Well, the one that didn't come on Sunday?" Yeah, just trust me, it didn't come. Is there a reason for that, Phil? Well, they claim there was. It fell off the truck, so it was busted. "Well, did they promise you a new one?" "Oh, yeah, they promised me a new one." They promised me a new one, whenever they could get it to me, like Tuesday or something. And I said, well, that's not soon enough. I want it tomorrow. And they said, well, we'll fax the warehouse and see what we can do. And I said, screw you. I'm going to call Chicago. And I called Chicago, and I got action, by God. Guess when they said they're going to bring the machine out? Wednesday. So not only did I get action and feel real good about myself, it's a day late and a dollar short. So while I'm waiting for my new machine, I thought I'd cover all my bases. I call up the Sears repair line. I get the repair guy out there. Repair guy was supposed to be there this morning. He didn't show up. He wasn't there. I call him up. Hi.
Yes, sir. Sears repair line. Can I help you?
Hi. Phil Henry here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you guys were supposed to be. I'm not even angry anymore. I'm just, you were supposed to be here and you weren't.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know.
And anyway, make a long story short, she says, I'm going to walk this over, sir, and there'll be a repair guy there tomorrow. The beauty of this is that there's not only going to be a repair guy at my house tomorrow, but the new machine is supposed to arrive tomorrow. I can't wait for those two clowns to be looking at each other. The guy's arriving with a new machine. What's the repair guy doing here? Just in case. So no sooner does he bring in a brand new machine, I got a guy fixing it. Just, I got all my bases covered. Now, the new machine, a guy there to fix it, the guy there to install it, and me hovering over the whole thing. By the way, I'm taking my physical for my insurance policy tomorrow, right? We're getting, I think Maria wants me to take out another $158 billion on my life, just in case something happens to me, like maybe I blow a gasket over a stinking dryer. So I'm taking a physical at home. You know, they come around, these nurses, and they draw blood, and they take your blood pressure and everything else. Which, by the way, I heard all that news about how guys are afraid to go to the doctor because they're afraid of what they're going to find. Do you go to the doctor, Craig? How? Well, you're a hypochondriac. You go every day, don't you? Something wrong with, you know, you just before you pull the chain, you're looking down and they're going, I don't know, it's the wrong color.
Hello, doctor?
Anyway, she's coming over tomorrow, so she's going to draw blood, take my blood pressure, do I think it's the EKG. You know, they lay you down and they attach electrodes to you, and then some other crap. And in the meantime, these guys are going to be bringing a dryer into the house. And, oh, yeah, guess what else is happening tomorrow morning? My pool table has arrived. Yeah, baby. The big 8.5-foot slate job with that beautiful camel hair color. The pool table, the dryer, the washer, the repairman, the woman, my blood pressure, my EKG. Somebody's going to die tomorrow. I hope it's not me, but someone. Could be the pool guy, the EKG guy, I don't know who. It's probably me. We're all converging at the same time tomorrow morning. Guys want to come over? It ought to be interesting. He's going to be sitting there with taking my blood pressure tomorrow. What opportune timing. Anyway, that'll be that. And then I got some rat food. So the wife and kids are supposed to be back on Thursday. And I'm looking very much forward to that. I don't know that I'm, well, wait a second. The kids are going to be gone this weekend. Yeah, I am looking forward to it. It'll just be me and Maria. Okay, thank God. I was talking to her, though. They were on a Bahamian island today. This Disney cruise takes you over to the Bahamas. Then you have your own private island. And she called me from the Atlanta, I think it's the Atlantis Resort in Nassau. And she said, hi, honey. I said, how you doing, babe? This was before she went over to this Castaway Key. She said, well, I don't know. I'm over here, and I was walking through a lot of black people. I said, it's the Bahamas. I know. See, white folks, and you know this. You probably know it in your heart. White people are not comfortable unless they see other whites around. If you're too many black folks, they start getting nervous. And Maria was walking through a whole crowd of them in the Bahamas. I guess she didn't get it about the Bahamas. I think she thought there were a lot of people in grass skirts. Some guy sitting there, you know, with puka shells around his neck, holding a corn cob pipe. You want to get a blast, lady? They're black, honey! Thank you.